So last Sunday, I talked in my sermon about an app on my phone that sent me little messages throughout the day that would pop up on my watch to remind me things like to take a deep breath or to be grateful for all that I have, or to take a larger perspective by asking me the question, am I having fun, no matter what was going on in my life at that particular moment. And that sermon was a little bit like the first part of a two-part sermon, and today is the second part. And today I want to talk some about the importance of taking an active role in directing your attention. As the ancient proverb or curse, depending upon who you ask, goes, we are indeed living in interesting times. And things are speeding up exponentially. You realize that there are now well over twice as many people living in the United States now than there were in the 1950s, which when I read that, I thought, well, no wonder it's so hard to find parking. We are now just 28 years from the first time the internet first became public in 1991, and only 12 years since the first iPhone came out. I can hardly remember how I used to stay up on the news or get up-to-the-minute weather reports or navigate to new and unfamiliar locations while finding a Starbucks on my route. There is more of everything happening now. Our brains, and especially those of us, I think, over 40, have a harder time keeping up. We are now bombarded with information, and it challenges our ability to make sense of it all. We are barraged with a never-ending tidal wave of information that is feeding at us 24/7 and available to us in these little devices attached to the end of our wrist almost all of the time. But you don't even need a smartphone to feel it. There are people talking at us from screens everywhere and in some of the most unexpected places, like in a taxi cab or in an elevator or at the gas pump. Most people are struggling with varying degrees of overwhelm, depression, anxiety, frustration, and hopelessness as a result of this blitz of information. And so it has become important to curate our attention feed. And by that I mean to take control of what we take into our consciousness, what we mentally consume by way of our attention. We need to learn to harness our attention to deal with this onslaught of information. And a large part of what that means is making sure that we're seeing things clearly. So if, like me, you get up in the morning and you check your Facebook feed or your Twitter feed and you see this endless stream of bad news, from black people being murdered by the police to the polar bears who are drowning because the ice caps are melting, the environmental protections being eroded, children being separated from their families and locked up in detention centers, it's horrific. And so if you come in at that in the wrong way, if your ego is invested in the world being a certain way, if your sense of peace and well-being is riding on the news being good, if you have ever given over your sense of happiness to the outside world in any way, you will suffer for it. And if you allow your mind to settle into judgment, to reach conclusions like, wow, people are just hideous, uncaring creatures, or if you decide that the world is a rotten, terrible place, what's really happening is that you're taking your eye off of the oneness. You're taking your eye off of seeing the full humanity of others, seeing their struggles as the same as yours, and seeing all people as one. What you're doing is otherizing people. You're starting to judge other people as behaving badly and starting to be angry at them or feeling shameful toward them or discounting their humanity. The whole thing just gets too much to bear really quickly, because you've placed the source of your peace and happiness upon other people's behavior. If you're seeing with true eyes, you're able to actually take in the blitz, you're able to feel sorrow and still care, but you also know when it is time to shut it off and take care of yourself. You know how much of your attention to put it on before it starts being too much, and then you can take your attention off of it and put it on something else. It's a little bit like learning to drink from a fire hose. So I know when I'm getting off balance, when I find myself feeling irritated or grumpy or hopeless or frustrated or contemptuous or disappointed or depressed or raging. Whatever your particular response is, you know that when you're feeling some intense emotion, that in some way you're out of balance. You've allowed your attention to be carried away by the torrent of it, rather than controlling your attention and utilizing it to navigate through it. In the endless news feed, there are always different ways to look at things. When he was a boy, Mr. Rogers said his mother told him to always look for the helpers. No matter what's happening, there's always people who are helping. And I remember when Hurricane Katrina hit, and there were all these stories about the aftermath, about how the government left these poor people to fend for themselves. I read horrifying stories of the police turning guns on the black residents who were only trying to escape the floodwaters by walking up into the white neighborhoods, and the emergency services and the hospitals that were trying to operate with no power, no sanitation, running out of food and water. It was awful. And you could get yourself worked up into a frenzy of angst because it was just so horrible. But there were also stories of tremendous heroism and love and compassion. And I remember I read about these nurses and medical workers in hospitals who refused to leave their patients. They continued to do their very best to care for the sick people in those horrible conditions. In fact, there was this one story I read about a hospital where the medical teams brought their patients up to the roof each day in hopes that a helicopter would come and rescue them. Remember, they had no elevators, so they carried gurneys up 9 flights of stairs every day in hopes that a helicopter would come. These beautiful people did this every day for weeks. And that was happening too. And this is the world, all of it, the awful beauty of all of it. If you want to put your attention on how awful people can be to one another, there will always be things for you to see. That's the way it is. And we do have to allow a certain amount of attention to take that in. We can't just bury our heads in the sand and say, I don't want to see that because it doesn't make me feel good. What we have to do is learn to control this attention muscle so we can engage with the injustice without getting too overwhelmed by it. Otherwise, we have no chance of countering it effectively. So, multitasking has been listed as a required skill for many fast-paced jobs in today's market. But as it turns out, our brains are not wired to multitask at all. Earl Miller, who's a neuroscientist at MIT and one of the world experts on divided attention, he says that when people think they're multitasking, they're actually just switching from one task to another very rapidly, and every time they do, there's a cognitive cost. Multitasking increases the production of the stress hormone cortisol, as well as our fight or flight hormone, adrenaline, which can overstimulate your brain and cause mental fog and scrambled thinking. So that's multitasking. On the far other end of the attention spectrum is the state of samadhi. Samadhi is a Sanskrit word that means perfect union of the individualized soul with the infinite spirit. It is a state of oneness or complete absorption. It is an experience of divine ecstasy as well as of superconscious perception. The soul perceives the entire universe. In other words, human consciousness becomes one with cosmic consciousness. Samadhi is the state in which experience is whole and infinite and singular. Just as the wave melts into the sea, so too the human soul becomes one with the Supreme Spirit. This is the spiritual practice most needed in our day, to learn to focus and control our attention so that we can direct it like a powerful laser beam rather than a diffuse and dimming bulb. The practice of meditation is how we learn to do this. And so today, I wanted us to have an opportunity to experience a little bit of a longer meditation guided by one of our very own experts in mindfulness, Livia Walsh. So let us now shift into that place of mindful attention, and in so doing, may we begin to learn to bring more balance and well-being into our minds and into our hearts. May it be so, and amen.